Conclude with some Devi Machshava. I know it's Tisha B'Av, but it's not a very strong point, a happy point to talk about. Let's talk about Tu B'Av a bit. Let's try to skip Tisha B'Av this year. Mara says, Rebbe B'Kesh Lakwer, Tisha B'Av Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. So it's a Nidcha in the world of Rebbe, so maybe we could also be Nidcha, be Zoche, to skip it and jump to Tu B'Av. The Maisa once with Yonasan Eibeshitz, he's a little boy. And it was Rosh Chodesh Adar, and he's busy playing around the kitchen, taking out of the pots and pans and making a whole big ruckus. And his mother told him to stop making such a big racket. He says, Rebbe taught us, when Av comes, Mishnechas Adar, Marvin Besimcha. So he ignored his mother and kept on playing with all the stuff and making a big mess in the kitchen. And she tried stopping him. He didn't stop. And she said, you wait until your father comes home. You just wait. So his father comes home, and Yonas Eibeshitz's mother tells his father what he was doing. So he comes into the room, and Yonas Eibeshitz stops making the whole big noise. So he says, what was going on? Ima, mommy said you were taking out all the pots and pans. So he said, yeah. Rebbe said, Misha nechnas adem marvin besimcha. So how come when I walked in, you stopped? Because Misha nechnas av mematim besimcha. You're supposed to stop. So the Sfarim point out that Misha nechnas av mematim besimcha, the Pashup shot is that we should minimize the simcha. But the Sifrei Chasida says, Misha nechnas av mematim besimcha, you might the av with simcha. Using simcha, you're able to overcome and to remove the av, the choshech, the velus of av. And particularly a year when Tishma falls out on Shabbos, the simcha of Shabbos overrides the Tisha B'Av. And Rebbe wanted to be okay, that Tisha B'Av, it wasn't that way, but that was the inyan, to be okay with b'mim atin b'simcha. So we're going to try to do that, talk a bit about Tu B'Av, which is just a week away. And Gemara in the end of Masechus Tainus. Tainus is all about Tainus, of course, and the Tisha B'Av halachas are found there. So finish off talking about Tu B'Av, and the many, many reasons why Tu B'Av is a big simcha, one of the two happiest days of the year, along with Yom Kippur. And of the many, many reasons brought down by the Gemara is that this was the day that the Harugei Beitar were allowed to be buried. They were given the license to bury the Mason that were killed, and they made a celebration. So yes, it's a big simcha when a person can be buried. It's not a simcha when a person dies. But when you could bury a person after he dies, it's an incredible simcha if there's a long period of time where you couldn't. But that doesn't seem to explain why there was such a great simcha in Tu B'Av. Again, it's a simcha to bury someone, but not like the happiest day of the year, because we could bury people. So what's pshat that Tu B'Av is a simcha because of the Harugei Beitar? And secondly, the Gemara tells us that they instituted the bracha of Tova Meitiv in benching because of the Harugei Beitar, that number one, that the bodies didn't decompose, and secondly, that they're able to bury the Harugei Beitar. Again, wonderful, wonderful the things that took place there, but why did that warrant saying a bracha and benching? Every benching now we say Tova Meitiv because of what happened to Harugei Beitar. It doesn't seem that they correlate to each other. That's a simcha, the greatest, the happiest day of the year, and plus Tova Meitiv because Harugei Beitar. So what exactly was the celebration? So the Kolbo explains, there's a discussion, what is the reason behind burying the mace? Burying the dead in general, what's the reason behind it? So the Kolbo says, the mitzvah of kavura is in essence an edus of a person's ne'manus or his belief, his emuna in tchias ha'mesim. If a person weren't to bury a mace, that would show he lacks that basic fundamental principle of yadus of tchias ha'mesim. But when you bury a person, that shows that, the one burying, the one being buried, we believe that there's a tchias ha'mesim. We believe such a thing. And that's what's the great simcha, the great mitzvah of kavur in general, he writes. So people who do the tara, the burial, all those involved in that every step of a ptira and a levaya and a kavura are all, in essence, expressing their great confidence in tchias ha'mesim. That's what kavura is about. So Tova Meitiv as well The Tzlach explains as follows. He says, one may have thought that since Haruge Beitar were never, they didn't decompose, the bodies stayed intact, so one might thought you don't need to bury. They're not decomposed. The burial is to, you know, prevent someone from looking at the body as it decomposes. So maybe there's no need for kruah. There was a special nes that took place here, no need to bury. And the Tzlach says, no, the Chacham said, no, nonetheless, even though the bodies didn't decompose, there's still a mitzvah to bury them. Hatov shlo hisrichu umetiv shenitnu l'kvur. We thank Hashem that the bodies didn't decompose, but we also thank Hashem for the opportunity to bury. You have to bury nonetheless. And what the Tzlach explains is, because in his deep Indian, he says, just like there's a mitzvah to bury the body because of the decomposition of the body, there's also a mitzvah to bury the neshama. So that's a deep Indian of what it means to bury the neshama. But maybe without getting that deep, we could say along the lines as follows, that even if the body doesn't decompose, kavur is not because the body is decomposing. The kavur is in order to help the next step of Tchias HaMeisim. See, burial is not simply storing and getting rid of a body. That's not what burial is. Kavur is, in essence, preparing for Tchias HaMeisim. The Gemara in Tainis explains why we place the bracha Mashi Ruach Aminir Gashem or Geshem in bracha of Tchias HaMeisim because the two are the same. The two are the same in that just like a body that's placed in the ground that's going to come from the ground, that's going to grow from the ground, so terrain falls on the seed which is buried in the ground and it grows in the ground. You take a dead seed, you put it in the ground, it grows. That's what Tchias HaMeisim is. You put a body in the ground, you plant it, and it grows. And the Gemara in the end of Ksuba says that the body is going to come up from the ground like a chita comes up enclothed in how the sheaves of wheat come. That's how a body is going to somehow come up in the clothing. So there's this comparison of when you bury the dead, it's a preparation. You're being zoreya. You're seeding the ground with a mace that's going to grow up during Tchias HaMeisim. So, Tov Umeitiv, Tov Shlo Hisrichu, Umeitiv Shenitnu L'Kfura was Tov, that the bodies didn't decompose, and Meitiv, that we're able to now bury Meitiv, the future, to bury that there's going to be an Asa Lavo, there's going to be a Tchias HaMeisim. That was the big bracha, that was the great celebration. So in essence, the Haruge Beitar was a testament of Tchias HaMeisim. That's what was going on, Tubav. A testament of Tchias HaMeisim, the Haruge Beitar were given the opportunity to be buried, which will then lead to the next step of Tchias HaMeisim. And now this also explains why we put this, if it's really in essence Tov Meitiv, it's a celebration of Tchias HaMeisim, we can understand why this is a part of benching. Benching, you look through the brachas, so the brachas talk about the second bracha being a request, a bakasha to return to Eretz Yisrael. And Rachem Naz, a bracha, a tefillah, we should be zocha to the building of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. And then the fourth bracha, Tov Meitiv, fits in perfectly. It's a bracha, it's a bakasha, it's a request that we get Tchias HaMeisim, all steps of the geula. After commemorating the Churban Beis HaMikdash in Tisha B'Av, a few days later, Tu B'Av is a celebration of Tchias HaMeisim. And every benching, we say, we should be back in Eretz Yisrael, we should be back in Yerushalayim, we should have the Beis HaMikdash, and we should have Tchias HaMeisim in the bracha, a Tov Meitiv. So now further, Tov HaMeitiv has another place in halacha, and that's the bracha of Tov HaMeitiv, the short bracha that one says. There are various halachas, and it's not so easy to fulfill all the conditions, but the bracha, you have a nice glass of wine, a bottle of wine with somebody else. So we also say the bracha of Tov HaMeitiv in that situation, if all the conditions are met. So how come that deserves a Tov HaMeitiv? So I understand Tov HaMeitiv applies to the Haruge Beitar, it's all about Tchias HaMeisim, but what's the Indian of drinking nice wine with another person? So it's the same idea. The first death in history was Adam and Chava. Prior to the chait of Adam and Chava, man was intended on living forever, eternally. And by them eating from Eitz HaDaas, which according to one opinion was Geffen, the Gemara in Bracha says that it brings a yilula, confusion to a person. Adam was under this confusion from the wine. There was some confusion going on there. So one opinion says it was a grapevine, it was wine that made him drunk. So their chait brought misa into this world. Death existed. Mortality became a reality when Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, which again is yayin according to one opinion. The tikkun of that initial chait of Adam and Chava is to drink wine, but in the proper way. Everything's allowed. Had Adam and Chava waited until the right time, they would have been able to eat from the Eitz Hadas. They ate it at the wrong time. It was the wrong zman. It was too early. Our obligation is to drink the wine, eat the grapes in the proper time. That's the tikkun, the fix. And dafka with two people, perhaps a remiss to Adam and Chava who didn't do it the right time, you and somebody else, you should drink the wine the right time. And we say Tova Meitiv because Tova Meitiv is a bracha of Tchias HaMesim. They brought death to the world, but we're going to do the tikkun of drinking the wine the right way to bring about a Tchias HaMesim and the Gula. So it's along the same lines of somehow celebrating the concept of Tchias HaMesim. And the Gemara at the end of Achelik, and the end of Sahedrin, talks about the various sources of Tchias HaMesim. How to be a Tchias HaMesim is a reality. It doesn't say it anywhere explicitly in the Pasuk. Anybody who doesn't believe in it is not Zocha to no Chelik Ba'olam Haba. But the main source of Tchias HaMesim is Az Yashir. Az Yashir, that there will be a time we will sing, seems to be the major source. Rashi HaTorah brings this as the source. Az Yashir, he mentions there, the Menayin Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah, and this is the source. So why Dafka Az Yashir? Why Az Yashir? Why was that the source? And perhaps this is a remez to Ein Shir El Al Yayin, that the singing, that the Gemara tells us that you only sing, the Levim sang the songs and the Karbanos, Dafka during the Nisach HaYayin. Ein Shir El Al Yayin, because Tchias HaMesim it's a tikkun of the Yayin that was ruined, that the Eitz Hadas was of Yayin, that the Chet of Adam Rishon. So as Yashir, there's going to be a time where we're going to sing over the yayin, we're going to sing over the wine, we're going to celebrate Tchias HaMesim through drinking this wine. Ein Shir El HaYayin. And moreover, the day of the week that we celebrate Tchias HaMesim is the Motzei Shabbos. Motzei Shabbos, Mlav Malka. This year we should be Zochah to have Mlav Malka. That is a time of Tchias HaMesim. We talk about Eliyahu Navi, time of Mashiach, and Tchias HaMesim. So the Gra writes down, based on the Pi Kabbalah, that the Mlav Malka food somehow feeds the luz bone somewhere behind the head, the neck, which is the bone that's used for Tchias HaMesim. That's going to be it's going to facilitate Tchias HaMesim. And that's Dafka and Matzei Shabbos. And on that, Esh Avram writes that one should Dafka drink wine during the Mlav Malka because that wine apparently penetrates the bones. He quotes the Gemara Nedarim, the wine penetrates the bone, the luz bone in particular. And the idea is, because if we're saying that wine, the Eitz Hadas was the wine, and the Adam Chava ate at the wrong time, and it brought Misa to the world, so by us drinking the wine in the right time, in the right context, that's going to bring about Tchias HaMesim and Dafka to the Luzbon. So Esh Avram writes that a person should Dafka drink wine during the Suda of Mlav Malka. We understand one other thing as well, that during the times of Noach, so the world was destroyed, and Noach and his family survived. And what was the first thing that Noach did when he came out of the Teva? He planted a grape vine. Perhaps he was trying to, at that point, be mesaken the chait of Adam and Chava. He wanted to do the right thing with the Eitz Hadas, that fruit of the wine, the grapes. But he also, he was wrong. What happened with Cham. But the other brothers, Shem and Yefes, protected the dignity of their father Noach. They covered him up. And what were they zocha to? So Shem and Yefes were zocha to two mitzvahs. Yefes was zocha to the mitzvah of kavura, and Shem was zocha to the mitzvah of talus. The wine that Adam and Chava had mistaken on, and that Noach did the same thing a different way, but also had made a chait with the yayin, the tikkun to that is the kavura and the talus in which we get buried. One gets buried in the talus. And these are all celebrations, they're all testament of Tchias HaMesim. So it all started with the yayin, the drinking of the wine from Eitz Hadas and Adam and Chava and then Noach as well. But the tikkun is to believe in that there's going to be a Tchis Mesim where there's going to be a time of Az Yashir. There's going to be a time of Ein Shir El Yayin, and the edus that we believe in that is through kavur. Through kavur, by burying a body, by preserving the body, by giving the proper kavod to a body. And the talis itself as well, wrapped around these two mitzvahs that were given from that Maisa with Noach, that's all a testament to our great belief, emuna, in the Tchis Mesim. So after Tisha B'Av, where it's a commemoration of death and mourning and Misa, Tu B'Av is a pick-me-up. Tu B'Av is a celebration of Tchis Mesim. There's going to be a time where there's going to be a Bai Shlishi, where there's going to be Mashiach, Eliyahu, there's going to be Tchis Mesim. We're going to have everything, reunited with Moshe, Aaron, and so on. So Tu B'Av comes afterwards because it's really a celebration of Tchis Mesim. Now, even though, say this on regular achas, even though Tu B'Av is really a celebration of Tchias HaMesim, there's a strong correlation between Tisha B'Av, the month of Av, and Pesach, which is Chodesh HaAviv, Av and Aviv, the Sfarim point out. And there's a parallel between Pesach and Tisha B'Av, the Torah points out. There's a little Atbash, the days of the week that Pesach falls out on. Different Yom Tovim fall out during the different days of the year. In other words, Aleph is Pesach, the first day of Pesach matched with Tav. Tisha B'Av and first day of Pesach always fall out the same day. Beis is Shin, Shavuos, and second day of Pesach always the same day. Gimel and Rosh Hashanah, and you go down the line and all, it works out perfectly. But first day of Pesach is always the same day of the week as Tisha B'Av, which Shabbos, it's a Nidcha this year, but Shabbos. See this correlation. So Pesach also is a celebration of Tchis HaMesim as well, without getting involved in too much of it. But we say Tfilas Tal on Pesach. Tal, Gemara tells us, is Tal Echaim is going to bring about Tchis HaMesim, and the Tal is going to fall from Shemaim. That's going to bring the mace from the ground. And there's a big emphasis on bones when it comes to Pesach as well. That's what the Yaveshos is, the Haftorah we read on Pesach, Shechal Yes B'Shabbos, Shabbos Chal Moed Pesach. And this Indian of Etzim Lo Sishbru, don't break the bones of the Karim Pesach. We don't find that anywhere else. We want to preserve the bones because the bones are going to come back to life. Atzmos Yosef led to Kriyas Yamsuf. So bones is a big theme when it comes to Pesach because Pesach and Av are connected in that way of the Gula, in particular when it comes to Tchias Mesim. So that's really the celebration of Tu B'Av, at least to this man, Damar, that we're celebrating Haruge Beitar, that yes, they were given the opportunity to be buried, but it wasn't just they were buried. It was a testament to the Chachamim's belief and our belief of there's going to be a Tchias HaMesim. There's going to be a renewal of life, a physical life, a renewal of the Beis HaMikdash, a renewal of everything that we need to hear after mourning the Beis HaMikdash. I'll finish with the Maisa that Rav Weinberger shared a couple years ago in Shal Shudas. It's a Maisa, and to remember, hopefully you get it all right, it's a Maisa about the Maharshal. And I believe he said that Meir Shapiro shared the story when he opened up the first day of yeshiva. I think it was like the day one he shared this ma'isa. I don't know why, I don't know, but I think that's the background of it. And he said that there was a person who was working in the funeral home and came across in the big notebook, looking at who was buried in the different plots where they're buried, he found a mice written up. And this is the mice that he saw and he shared. And that was the mice that Rav Meir Shapiro shared at the day one, opening day of the yeshiva. Mice that took place in the times of the Maharshal. And the mice goes that there's a young chassan kala, they got married. And a few weeks after they got married, the kala was nifter. And the boy, of course, was broken, didn't know what to do. And his Rav told him, just get back on your feet and date again, find someone else, you're young, find a new wife. And he just was not sure, he was going back and forth, should I not? And finally, after a long conversation, he told his Rav the following. The problem is, I really can't date again. See, when my wife was sick, he explained, she made me swear that I won't marry anybody else. And I'm bound to her shvuah, and here I am stuck. So the Rav didn't know what to do. So the Rav sent him to the Maharshal. Ask a shala to the Maharshal, and he'll guide you properly. So the chassan goes to the Maharshal and explains what's going on. And the Marshal says, you're not bound by the shul. The shul is not chal at all. You can't make a shul. You have a chiv deraisa to get married, to have children. The shul is not chal. So he said, go ahead and get married. Give you a bracha. You should find a wife soon. And he finds another wife and gets married. And shortly after they get married, the second marriage, the husband dies. And there's a big talk in the town that Marshal is Marshal's fault. He gave the green light to the husband to get remarried, and obviously Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't think it was the right thing to do. You're bound by the shul, you don't keep a shul right, this is what happens. So no one wanted to tell Marshal. Marshal was a different city. They were nervous, but finally he sent a message to the Marshal and told him that, listen, the chassan who you told to marry just died. So he takes out a paper and pen, the Marshal, and he writes the following, something along the lines of, L'chavod Shemayim, or L'beznin Shalmala, I, the Marshal, gave a heter for him to get married, explains al pialacha why the shua is not chal, signed Marshal. He folds up the piece of paper, hands it to the shliach, and says, when they finish laying the body in the ground, place this in his hand and fold up the piece of paper in his hand. But don't bury him. Just place him in the ground that way. And then have a guard outside the cemetery and let nobody walk in. Just to have a guard the whole night watching. So they do as they're told. They bury him where they place him in the ground and put a paper in his hand and everyone leaves. Sometime in the middle of the night, the guard hears some rustling around inside the cemetery. And hears some footsteps, and out walks this young chassan in his tachrichin. The guard sees this dead man walking, and he runs for his life. The chassan goes home to his new wife. His wife screams, doesn't know what's going on. The man goes to the base magistrate to see if everything's normal. And the son from the base magistrate finally told the marshal, your buddy, the chassan, he came back to life. You better see him. So they said, have him come to me. So they sent this chassan, tachrichim, came to the marshal. And the marshal, he made some tzava that everyone should forget this story ever happened. He had some tefillah that it should be shikha in the world. He wrote it down and told him to write this down in this notebook of the funeral home. And someone in the future is going to come across this story and to know that there's a God in this world. There's a God in this world. There's such a thing as tchiyas ha-meisa. That was the maisa. That was a ma'isa that Rameir Shapiro shared from the Marshal. Sounds like a wild, wild ma'isa, but there's tchiyas ha-meisa in this world. Eliyahu Navi, Elisha, and others, Marshal. There's a tchiyas ha-meisa. There's tchiyas ha-meisa in many, many different levels. There's the tchiyas ha-meisa of the ultimate when the Mashiach is going to come. And there's going to be the calling out by Yom Ahu, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu's name will be known, and there'll be a tchiyas ha-meisa of the entire world, those who are Zocha. And then there's the tchiyas meisim on the smaller levels, real tchiyas meisim individuals, but then there's the tchiyas meisim in our own lives, our personal lives, that even a person who's alive can have a certain deathly feeling. Certainly the 9 days when life seems down and ruchnius is low, but Tu B'Av is a celebration of the tchiyas meisim a person could have in his life. So the bracha to you and all of us and all the zechus that you gain from learning these past few weeks, he could have been doing other things, but he decided to dedicate to learning here. That should serve as a big zechus for you individually, you and your mishpachas. It should be zechus to give you a tchiyas ha-meisim, a pick-me-up. You should continue going vayit and continue growing in your ruchnias and your avodas Hashem and your learning and your tefillah and your mitzvahs and your chesed. And it's really been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure. And that we close out with a beautiful zaman. And I'm looking forward to being in touch with each one of you.